I'm Cliff, and this is my wife, Kegwin. We have the pleasure of serving the Lord Jesus amongst you guys. And wonderful to be here. And we are here permanently, for those of you who don't know, which is amazing. I'm still sort of getting it through my head. We are here. It just seems so unbelievable, you know, being in this place that the Lord has called us here. And what a beautiful place, and amongst such a beautiful people. For us, that, like I said, I can't get over what the Lord is doing in lives, and you know, put together you guys, and put us with you is just amazing for me. It doesn't feel like work at all. It feels like just the blessing of the Lord, just being with each other, and that's the beautiful picture of the family. You know, that he has for us is that we are all together one family. And it's just so encouraging to hear, you know, those words come, you know, that the Lord's actually encouraging us to open our hearts as that word came, you know, from Marie, that we're opening our hearts to the Lord. And it's not just, we're not just saved to be safe. And that was one of the words, you know, that we can just be on the beach and enjoy. This is great to be, you know, sitting on the beach, saved. The Lord's done something in my life, but not a recognition of what he's calling us to. And the Lord is calling us to reach out. And the question I want to put, and maybe the title is, Are we living dangerously? Are we living dangerously? Or are we just living safe? Safe in what we think is, this is what the Lord's called me to, this is where I am, and I'm safe here. But the Lord is calling us to live dangerously and not recklessly. Because, look, I can be reckless. I know myself, and on a motorbike, I am a bit reckless. And I've done myself a bit of damage, and I still haven't learned. But my wife said to me, when we still had little ones, she said to me, you know, you got to promise me this, that you're not going to do anything drastic, and you got to get off your extreme sports and that, so that you can be a father, that you can be around, you know, for our kids in the future. So I've kept that promise to my wife. What's that? By the grace of God. By the grace of God, yeah. But last week I spoke about just the pearl of great price. And those of you who maybe weren't yet, it's in Matthew 13. It talks about Jesus being that the pearl of great price. It talks about two different individuals, one just stumbling upon a treasure in a field, just walking along the path, and suddenly kicks something, or he just finds this treasure in this field. And so he then is, with such joy that he's found this thing, goes back and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. You know, and then straight after that, the next one in Matthew 13, it talks about the pearl of great price, and it talks about a merchant who's looking and seeking something of value, and he's looking. And then when he buys and sells a merchant of pearls, and he buys and sells pearls, but when he is suddenly he finds the pearl of great price, the pearl that is worth, that he's never expected to find, actually, of such value. And he goes and he sells all his pearls to buy that one pearl. And it's a reflection of us, actually, when we see the kingdom of God, when we find the kingdom of God, whether we stumble upon it, or we really looking for some type of truth in our lives, and we are surprised to find Christ and his truth, and it changes us. There's this selling all for Jesus. Am I booming? Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to boom. Are we sorting it out, Vim? Where are you? Okay. Okay. Those guys, okay. Put the blame on there. Who was it? It was Finn, where are you? There you are, okay. Okay. Cool. So, you know, I want to read for us in Philippians 3, verse 1 to 6. And sometimes, you know, we place value on certain things that are, for us, important. And they have value. If you think about what's really valuable for you, I think I mentioned last time, you know, what do you spend your money on? What do you, your time spent on? What's the priority of your life? You know, there's something that's very valuable for you that's really important for you. And in Philippians 3, Paul writes, and he starts, he says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, and he's talking to them, and he says, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. And it's, whoa, okay. To safeguard, he keeps on telling him something to safeguard their faith. And what is that? Rejoice in the Lord. It's like, what do you mean rejoice in the Lord? How's that going to safeguard my faith? And we need to connect that to that treasure. Connect that to the pearl of great price. When you find Jesus, there's a joy unspeakable. There's something that has changed. There's something in you that when you think about Jesus, there's a joy and a steadfastness in, this is what I'm giving my life for. This is what I'm selling all for, is Jesus. And so he goes on and he says, watch out for those dogs. Those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. And there's a bunch of people that have infiltrated the church and they're telling them, to be saved, you've got to be circumcised. You can't call yourself a believer until you circumcise. And so he was standing against the doctrine that was trying to come in the church and take the people away and actually take away their joy, take away their understanding of who Jesus is. And so he goes on and he says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Jesus has done for us, and we put no confidence in human effort. And then he goes on, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. And so then he goes and he shows them just, and he's writing to say, this is why I could put confidence. He's saying we shouldn't put confidence in ourselves, okay? But then he's showing us why he, in a sense, could justify why he could put confidence in himself. And he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. And so there, I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. And I'm a member of the Pharisees. So a very religious man who demanded the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And we all know about Paul and his persecution of the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without a fault. And so we see a man that has, he's put values in things before Christ, and they, in a sense, that's how he lived his life. What's valuable for you? Don't we all consider things more valuable to us than anything else? I mean, Paul was willing to persecute Christians for what he believed. The values that he held to, that he thought was right. Isn't that scary that we can think we're so right, but yet we can go against actually what the Lord is saying? He was religious, and he was a Pharisee, and he did what he thought was pleasing to the Lord, but it wasn't. Maybe we're living as we see fit, and you know, everyone in Israel in Judges 21 verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king, so the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And this was a real lawless period in Israel's history, where everybody did what they thought was right. There was no king, and there was no law. There was a moving, actually a shift from God's divine law to subjective personal morality. What is good for me? Shush, isn't that just like our society now? And possibly, scary, even more scary, isn't that what's in the church now? Is I do what I think is morally right. And, you know, maybe it's sometimes, you know, we think we justify what we do. And, you know, maybe I work for someone and, you know, it's not a problem. I make lots of money for the company, so why not take what, you know, if there's extra things there, I help myself to. And we make it right. Maybe, you know, it's just putting in that extra time in the clock, in the clocking in, or giving your time for the week so you can get paid, and just adding on a few extra. Just doing what is right, what we think is right. Maybe treating those at work for us to a lesser degree. Maybe it's justifying just, you know, swearing at someone because they're not doing what we want them to do, or they've hurt us, and so we lash out. Is it okay to treat our loved ones horribly? And sometimes we do what we think is right for ourselves. Maybe the relationship you're in doesn't honor the Lord. And we think, okay, well, it's okay. You know, I am going to get married one day. We are going to live right one day. But it's fine. You know, we're going to get married. And so in our mind, we justify what is right for us. You know, maybe it's putting other priorities ahead of other priorities, making certain priorities more important. You know, I remember being at a wedding, and I was officiating the wedding, and you know, I didn't know anyone except the couple that was being married. We'd done counseling with them, and so, you know, what happens normally is that after the ceremony, we go to the reception, and then, you know, if you've done marriages before, okay, who can we put with who on what table, you know? Okay, there's the group that just doesn't connect, or these people don't know each other, and you try and put all the family together and all the people that know each other, but then you've got this table where, like, I don't know what to do with these guys. Let's just put all those guys that don't know what they don't know each other, put them on one table. You know? And so I was on that table with those guys. And I remember having, next to me was a doctor, and he was quite, you know, he'd studied hard, and he'd been quite a go-getter in a sense, and he'd run really well for himself. He was a specialist doctor, and so we were just chatting, and then he confided in me, and I think maybe it was because, you know, there's no one else. Yeah, we all sitting at the table, like, okay, I don't know that guy, but okay, we found connection, and he just said to me, confided in me, and said, you know what, my kids don't want anything to do with me. I thought, sure. And then we talked some more, and then he sort of said, you know, he'd He'd worked hard his whole life. You know, he'd given his kids the best of the best. He'd given them the best education. He'd bought them the latest technology, you know, laptops and cell phones, and he'd provided for them. But he was never there for them. You know? And he had, long before the kids, he'd made a choice in himself to work and do the long hours, to get ahead in business, to make a name for himself. But it had cost him. And he was sitting at that table alone. You know, I don't know where his wife was, but he was alone. And you know, sometimes there's priorities that we choose in our life that we've chosen. We've chosen those priorities. And you know, it was sad to see, you know. And I don't even remember what I preached on that wedding. All I remember was this conversation. I mean, this happened probably 15, 16 years ago. And I don't know where they are now. But there's this thing where we determine what's valuable to us. We do what we think is right. And, you know, we fall into this trap. This is the trap that Satan sets for every one of us, where we think we're doing what the Lord wants. We're doing good. We seem like we're doing good, but we're actually not doing what the Lord wants. And so we see Paul talking about this in Philippians, and he spoke about that, and I read that scripture to you. You know, how to rejoicing in the Lord, safeguarding his faith, our faith, and then and not putting confidence in our own efforts. And he goes and he continues that in Philippians 3, verse 7. And he says in verse 7, I once thought these things were very important. And my translation says, I thought these things were very valuable. Being religious, doing all these things. But now I consider them worthless. Absolutely worthless. Because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting everything as garbage, as nothing, worthless, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him, no longer counting my own righteousness through obeying the law, rather becoming righteous through faith in Christ. And so we've been given something so precious in Christ, knowing Christ. And actually in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like frail clay jars containing this great treasure. And sometimes, you know, that's the reality, is that we are here for a little while. And these bodies of ours are clay jars, really. But they house the presence of the King of Kings. We've got a treasure inside of us, those that have accepted Jesus, that is worth more than anything else. And so, you know, this past week, actually I was finished, and it wasn't because I played a game of squash against Ivia and VM. It was because I was moving heavy stuff. But my body was absolutely finished. These jars of clay that we're living in are temporary. And they're not strong. You know, once when I was young, I thought I was strong. Once you're older, you get wiser. And you realize you're not. That's why you give the young guys, you play hard with them. And then they give up quickly. Just a little just a chat on the inside there. You're supposed to close your ears. You're not supposed to hear that. And so we have this, it says, we have this light shining in our hearts. Do you have Christ shining in your hearts? Do you sense His presence? Do you hear His voice? Is there a joy inside of you when you think about Christ, when you think about Jesus? Is there a joy inside of you? Because then your faith is going to last. Then your faith is going to persevere. Verse 10, and Paul goes on and he says, we are pressed on every side. Verse 8, over there. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair, but not broken. Much easier to understand. We are hunted down, but never abandoned. Okay, let me read it over there. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We are knocked down, but we get up again and keep on going. And so he's explaining just what the power of God can do in his life. This is what the power of God can do. They faced persecution. We're not facing persecution anywhere near to what they are facing persecution. And he carries on. He says, though through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And I want to go to, also, and then verse 11. It says, yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be obvious in our dying bodies. And I want to highlight that. As actually, are we living dangerously? Are we living dangerously for the Lord? In that, we go back to verse 11. It says, we under constant danger of death. Do you feel as a believer, you under this constant danger of death? Not on physical death, but a death of this person that wants to live life my way. Because I want to live my life my way. I don't know about you. When it comes to the things of God and I see Jesus, then I'm willing to say, okay, I'm willing to live dangerously for the Lord. Then I'm willing to say, I'll live under that danger of death, back to 11, sorry, because we serve Jesus. Because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are constantly, this body is in danger of doing what the Lord wants. And it says, so that the life of Jesus, sorry, back. so that the life of Jesus may be obvious in our dying bodies. Is the life of Jesus obvious in our bodies? Is his life obvious? In Colossians 1, verse 24, it says, Paul writes, and he says, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body. And so Paul's writing about his focus on ministry. This is about Paul and what is his focus. And so as a leader in the church, this is also my focus. This is our heart as leaders, actually, for every one of you. I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue in my body, for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now has been revealed to God's people, to you. Has that message been revealed to you? For God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. Did you know that? That treasure, the riches of God, are for you.
as Gentiles. That's what we are. Unless you are of Jewish descent, this is us. We the Gentiles. And so the riches of the glory of God are for us. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. That's the secret. This is what we're talking about. This is the great treasure. Christ is in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. So I tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone. And this is should be a heart of a leader. With all wisdom God has given us, we want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's the goal of every one of us, is that we are presented to Christ perfect in our relationship to him. And this is the treasure that we have. And there should be this progression in our relationship with the Lord, a perfecting of that and knowing him in each one of us. And so he goes on, that is why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. And it's not his power, it's Christ's power. Christ within. Does Jesus live in your heart? Maybe he doesn't live in your heart. Maybe there's not that joy when we talk about the Lord. Will you allow him to be that greatest treasure of your heart? If he's in you, would you dare to hear his voice when he speaks to you? Because actually, those that know the Lord know his voice. His sheep follow him. And so there's a following, actually, of those that hear the Lord, follow the Lord. So if he lives in you, then you need to be hearing his voice. Then you're able to live dangerously. Then you're able to not live in the place of, this is, I think, what is best for me. This is possibly a wise decision. But actually living with a conviction of, I've heard the Lord. And I'm willing to live dangerously for him. So maybe we can close our eyes. And I'd like to make a call for two things. And I'd like you to lift your hand because I'd love to pray with you. And for you, maybe Jesus doesn't live in your heart. There's not that joy. There's not that excitement that I found this treasure. I found something that's worth dying for. I found him. Would you allow him to be the greatest treasure? If that's you, you know, there's nothing greater. This world, we've only got so many years to live on this world, and that's it. Some are closer to the end than others. But are you willing to find that great treasure and allow him to be that great treasure in your life? I wouldn't waste time if I was you. Because there's nothing more amazing than knowing Christ and walking with him. And if that's you, maybe if you're feeling like the Lord is stirring your heart, I'd love to, maybe you can just lift your hand and say, I'd like prayer for that. I'd like the Lord to be the treasure in my heart. Do you feel he's stirring? Do you feel him calling you? Because he wants to draw you to himself. Is there anyone that wants to give your life to the Lord and say, I want Jesus to be the greatest? Just indicate to me as I look over. Anybody? I'm going to move on to the next, but I'd love if you haven't given your life to Jesus, please come and speak to me afterwards. It's something that, like I said, he's the greatest treasure. To know Jesus and walk with him, there's nothing on this world that can come or is at par with him. We might think there's stuff that's a par, but there's nothing. If he lives in you, but you would dare to hear his voice when he speaks and live dangerously by obeying him. I'd like to, for those that want that, if he lives in you, that you stand. But you want to hear his voice clear and you want to start living dangerously in these things, not just living with what you think is cool, what you think is right, but actually hearing him and saying, Lord, today I want to live for you like I've never lived for you ever in my life. I want to live dangerously, hear you. And so, that's great. I'm gonna pray, and I want us all to pray. Those that are standing to pray this. Lord Jesus, you are the greatest treasure. And Lord, I want my joy to just be abounding. I want my excitement when I hear your name to be through the roof. Because you are the great treasure. And tonight, Lord, I don't want to just hear what I think is a good way to live. I want to live your way. I want to live dangerously so that you are formed in me. And tonight, Lord, I invite you in. As you came in the beginning of the meeting, and you spoke to us about opening our hearts to allow you in, that tonight we allow you in. Tomorrow I will allow you in. This next week and this next year, I'm going to allow you to speak to me. I'm going to open up my heart and hear what you've got to say. In your mighty name. Amen. Amen. And I want to encourage you guys, the Lord wants to speak to us, every single one of us. You take those moments. You might not think you've had a great, you know the word backwards, but the Lord can speak to you as you open the word, as you listen to him, he's going to speak to you. And you know what? It's not going to be difficult. This is about listening to him. It's about being obedient to what he's saying. And if he brings a bit of conviction in an area, that's great, because the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking to you, and he's actually drawing you to reflect him more. Amen. Amen. I'm encouraged, because you know what? The Lord, to find that great treasure, changes us. Changes us totally to have Jesus. You know, and like that second word, you know, how can we be safe on that shore? Because God just didn't save us just to be safe. He saved us so that we can reach the lost. So that we can share actually that joy that we've got with those that don't know him. Share that treasure that we have. I want to encourage you that this week, I think last week we prayed in the men's prayer, we prayed for opportunities to witness. That we actually trust the Lord and have those opportunities where we can share with those that don't know. Amen.